Canberra is home to a variety of sporting organizations, national league teams, and successful clubs. Sport and Recreation Services, part of the ACT government, is offering sports administrators, board members, and club volunteers free workshops to improve performance in fundraising, marketing, managing volunteers, and other areas. In this audio series, Canberra Marketing Identity Bob Croshore chats with specialists involved in some of these key areas.
Today we're talking to Justin Barry. Justin's a well-known Canberra communications professional with experience in social media. Justin, how did you get started? What's your involvement with social media?
The involvement that I've had with social media, like everyone's, has evolved as it's been introduced. I'm a strategic communications consultant by trade in the past, and that meant working with large government departments and organisations around their integrated communications strategy, and bringing social media into that as part of that integrated strategy was just a natural development.
Justin, you're giving a series of workshops on social media for Canberra clubs and codes in conjunction with the ACT government. What do you cover and what will people learn?
We've been really lucky that Sport and Recreation Services are on the front foot with this, which they have to be because athletes, even local athletes, are so active in social media. So they asked me to come in and develop essentially a syllabus for social media for sports organisations. And it focuses on three simple things. One is just a general introduction to the landscape, the kinds of platforms and products that you can use. Secondly, very much a focus on how social media is part of strategic communications and communications planning, so building it into your overall communications. And then finally, the policies and procedures that you need to be aware of. So there is a strong component in the workshops around social media policies and how they relate to codes of conduct for athletes and the kind of risk management that organisations should be aware of. And the great thing about the workshops is we ran them last year for the first time, and they were much more an introduction to how social media works. And already the audience has moved on and are ready for this next level of conversation. But the response to the workshops has been fantastic, and all of the material, because Sport and Rec Services are socially media aware themselves, is available through Facebook and SlideShare.
How would an organisation make a decision to jump in and start using social media?
I think it's a really interesting question, Bob, because sometimes organisations, particularly sporting organisations that we deal with, the decision is taken out of their hands. So often fans or stakeholders, whether it's parents of athletes, whether it's administrators, and in the case here in Canberra where we are, even politicians and ministers for sport are already in there using social media. And so in some ways, the decision about whether to jump in and engage or not is taken care of because the organisation has to respond to people who are talking about them or with them. But there are a number of things that sporting organisations should think about beforehand. And it's interesting with social media because people get excited by the possibility and excited by the concept, and it is exceptionally easy to set up and jump into social media. But it comes with a cost, like any investment. And so only jump in if you really have the resources to be able to do it, because once you enter social media and start interacting with people, then you've started a conversation. And if you don't intend to resource that conversation, then that can have more of a negative impact than not being there at all. And so the really, in terms of jumping in, the first decision we ask organisations to make is, are you resourced and willing to continue having the conversation with people in social media?
So resources are a big issue. Can you actually keep this thing going? If I'm in a Canberra sporting club, what other key things do I need to consider as I start this social media path?
I think really the two key things are, what are my own business objectives? Why do I want to be involved in social media? Because the multiple platforms that exist really do focus on different kinds of communication. So if I want to be part of a community or tap into a community, then I want to use Facebook. If I want to link to people, I want to connect, I want to have a conversation going, I'd use Twitter. If I want to just promote an event, then I might just use Instagram or a media sharing platform. So each of those simple statements I've just made require actual strong decisions by the organisation about how they want to communicate. So really, firstly, make business decisions about why you want to be in there. And I say business, even if it's a volunteer sporting organisation, what's the objective that you're seeking? And then make clear and consistent decisions about which of the many, many products or platforms you're going to use. And generally, I would recommend don't jump into too many at once. Really just get a foothold in one, get good at it, and really build your presence that way.
It seems to me, Justin, that what you really need then, if you're a club or a code, is some sort of social media plan save for the next 12 months so that you can really harness the power of this market?
Yeah, I think it's no different really for sports organisations in any conversation they would have been having for the last 20, 30 years. It's just that the conversation previously would have been, do we print a newsletter? Do we email and talk to our participants and members through email? And do we have a phone call or a phone training? It's just now that the products are different. So definitely it's about planning, and we recommend linking that planning to just the normal business planning that the organisation will be doing. So certainly sports organisations, even if they're volunteer, have constitutions, have business planning processes, just include social media as a discussion in those rather than as an add-on. But even within that, there are obviously some specific things that you need to think about. So we get people to think about the audience that they want to speak to. And that sounds like a simple matter when you're a sporting organisation, but it can be quite complex. So you have fans who have a very different motivation or reason to want to interact on social media than administrators, than coaches, volunteers. There's a whole range of audience groups. So in that kind of framework or plan, we really ask sports organisations or recommend that they sit down, think about the audiences they're talking to, because each of those audiences might be quite a different experience.
I've also found that when you have your social media plan, it gives everyone in the organisation confidence. So it gives the board confidence that there is a way ahead and thought out, etc., and it lets volunteers and players and administrators, etc., know exactly who's doing what, when, and how it's going to be used. Now, the London Olympics has been hailed as the social media games. What was your take on it, Justin, in terms of what was good, what was bad, you know, what were the developments?
I thought it was fascinating, Bob, because many of the things that are so positive about the Olympics is the social games were really a nightmare for many of the organisations involved. So I could sit here and say it was fantastic that there was interaction between fans and athletes. It's amazing how close to the games you could get through social media. And really with some of the coverage and the complaints about coverage by the large traditional media groups, it really enabled people to see and access sports in a way that they haven't. I'd balance that by the things that organisations learned during the Olympics. Things like they can't control the message anymore. And so that is a fundamental difference that sporting organisations and particularly peak bodies are used to telling athletes what to do, and they're used to telling coaches and volunteers what to do and how to act and what to say and having really tightly controlled messages. And what we saw, particularly in Australia, was that the athletes aren't constrained by that model anymore. So the days of having athletes being managed while they're away for 2 weeks are over. And people in Australia got to see things like, really serious things like accusations of racial discrimination, right down to petty bickering about selections and performance. And I think that was a real eye-opener. I think the other really interesting thing was that the bigger the brand that you were during the Olympics, the more chance that your brand was going to be compromised. So the major sponsors who had paid significant amounts of money to have their brand in the Olympics, like McDonald's, were really attacked in the social media platforms and had very little way of controlling that. So it was a real eye-opener for them. But the positives around access to athletes and just feeling part of the games were quite overwhelming, I think.
The London Olympics, once every 4 years, multi-billion dollar undertaking. Lots of lessons from the London Olympics, but at the local Canberra level for a club or a code, what can we learn from that experience?
I think the lessons are really transferable, and they are around, if you break down what the Olympics are, it's an event. And for a local sporting organisation, whether it's promotion of an event, promotion of results, then social media offers exactly the same opportunities. And so the whole concept of local sports and sporting organisations wanting to promote and connect is directly applicable from the Olympic message, as are the lessons around risk management and issue management. So we see that things like Instagram, Ustream, all of these social media programs and products offer sports an ability to broadcast their own events, offers them the ability to promote and, in fact, leverage traditional media by connecting to journalists online, which was something we saw through the Olympics. And that can happen right here in Canberra, in any local town, and it really does offer an opportunity to do exactly the same thing that the large brands and organisations did.
Justin, thanks very much for your time. The workshops sound really, really interesting. I think that Sport and Rec have put together a very good podcast series as well as a workshop series, and I know the next sessions will include things like marketing, media and profile building, and also volunteer recruitment and retention.
You can take your club or organization to the next level by signing up for the latest free workshops hosted by Sport and Recreation Services. Call 02-6207-2073 or visit ACT Sports and Recreation Services on Facebook at facebook.com/ACTSRS.